You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
It's a daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Tuesday, the 23rd of April 2024. The Australian share market rose today by 0.5%. We'll get the details with Mathan Somasundaram from Deep Data Analytics. But before we start, just letting you know about a new podcast which begins tomorrow called Cost of Living Secrets. It's with me and SBS journalist Peggy Giacomelos. Every Wednesday, we'll speak to an expert in their field about how you can save money every day on everyday things. Things like petrol, rent, seeing a doctor, nutrition, interest rates, and at the supermarket, which will be our first topic. So subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from. Just search for Cost of Living Secrets. It's brought to you by SBS News and SBS starting from tomorrow. Okay, let's go to business news now. Starting off with, first of all, businesses saying a significant concern is the housing crisis, which is expected to get worse before it gets better. It's part of the findings of the Deloitte Access Economics Business Outlook, which I spoke to partner Stephen Smith in more detail about. Stephen, how are businesses feeling at the moment?
Well, Ricardo, look, it depends a little bit on which sector you're in. If you're in the construction sector, particularly the residential construction sector or the retail sector, you're certainly struggling at the moment. And that's because, you know, households are struggling and there's some known issues in the housing sector. Other parts of the economy, you know, traveling along, not too bad in the sort of health and education, you know, those that are particularly exposed to, you know, strong population growth, you know, not feeling, you know, too bad at the moment. And so it's a bit of a mixed bag, you know, sector by sector. Overall, we think the economy is in a little bit of a holding pattern and a little bit of an air pocket at the moment, if you like. There's not a clear growth driver. And so, yeah, looking for towards the end of this calendar year, some return to the pace of growth.
What are they saying at the moment about the way they're dealing with inflationary pressures?
Look, businesses for the last 12 months or so have certainly been trying to pass on, increases in input costs, you know, to the best that they can. We've seen that then flow through to increases in the consumer price index. And so households have kind of been bearing the brunt of that, if you like. We're starting to see, though, that, particularly in certain sectors, supermarkets are an example which have been in the headlines lately, that, you know, there's only so much you can do in terms of passing on costs to households before, you really do start to see some pushback. And we're probably at that point now. And so, we do think that we'll see a little bit more of an uptick in insolvencies in some sectors.
Okay, so is it fair to say that lower interest rates would help overall sentiment? And if so, when are you expecting that to happen?
Lower interest rates would help overall sentiment. It's not just for households, certainly for businesses as well. And so, you know, sentiment has been tracking, you know, pretty poorly, since the pandemic and continues to. We've pushed back our view on interest rate cuts by a couple of months. We now think the first cut in Australia will be in November of this year. That's mostly because the Reserve Bank has shown a fair degree of caution, and we think we'll want to see the September quarter inflation figures out in October before making a decision. But we do think by then the economy will be, you know, sufficiently weak, the labour market will have deteriorated, and inflation will have come back down enough to warrant a reset lower in interest rates. And so, yeah, towards the end of this calendar year, we do think that there's some relief there for both households and for businesses.
Is there a fear that the government's budget may be inflationary? If we know that we've got these stage three tax cuts coming through, some potential relief, we don't know what form yet, but relief for households, is that another thing that could push back the potential timing for rate cuts?
Look, it's possible. Certainly inflation hasn't gone away. We get the next set of numbers tomorrow. We are expecting those to show that inflation has ticked below 3.5% on a 12-monthly measured basis. But that's still not where it needs to be. And so, you know, there does need to be a degree of caution in the budget. But at the same time, you know, we think that the economy is quite weak, and the budget needs to show a little bit of a pivot to growth. And so, it's the timing of that, of those two challenges that's really a difficulty for policymakers at the moment. You need to, pivot to growth and stimulate, the next phase of growth in the Australian economy, help to enable that growth. But at the same time, we've got this fading inflation challenge that needs to be watched very carefully. That is the big challenge in this budget, due out in a couple of weeks.
And back to businesses and the report. I understand that their key concern is the housing crisis, right? To what extent are they worried about it and why?
Well, certainly the housing crisis is a big concern, not just for businesses, but for everyday Australians, for households, and for governments as well. This is a problem that unfortunately is likely to get worse before it gets better. We're not building nearly enough homes in Australia. We haven't built nearly enough homes for quite some period of time. One of the statistics that we've been focusing on lately is the number of houses under construction. There's around 100,000 houses that is under construction in Australia at the moment. That's about two-thirds more than what is normally under construction. But unfortunately, that's not a good news story. We do need more housing. But the problem at the moment is the sector has this backlog of projects that it's just been struggling to get through. We do think that we will see a pickup in housing commencements and completions reasonably rapidly through 2025 and 2026, but that's after the sector grinds through this backlog of projects. And so, it's really a sector spinning its wheels at the moment, and we need to see that lift in the number of dwellings completed so that we can put some downward pressure on rents and prices and help affordability.
So finally, in wrapping that part up, does it serve as a warning then that prices will remain high for both properties and for rents?
We think so. Certainly in the next couple of years, we do see, reasonably significant increases in both rents and prices. That's because we're continuing to add to the demand side all the time with, population growth, household formation, sort of tracking along. But at the same time, the supply of properties isn't nearly sort of coming online at the pace we require. And if you're a builder, you're thinking about you've got higher materials and labor costs. We don't think they're going back to where they were pre-pandemic. You also require, bigger margins because we've seen the level of insolvencies in the sector that's really suggestive of, profitability not being where it needs to be. And the price of land is equally only going up. And so if you put all those factors together, the only way really that you can expect the sector to respond to the needs in the Australian economy and the needs of policymakers in the community for more housing is to is for higher prices and to expect builders to be able to earn a decent return. So unfortunately, yes, we do think prices will be higher, and until we can get supply up, rents will continue to grow at rates that are higher than normal as well. So as I said, unfortunately, this is a problem that's likely to get worse before it gets better.
Stephen Smith there from Deloitte Access Economics.
Now, Market Day on the SBS On The Money podcast.
The Australian share market had another good day today. The S&P ASX 200 up 0.5% to 7,683. For more, I spoke with Mathan Somasundaram from Deep Data Analytics.
Yeah, I mean, US market had six negative days, so it had a relief bounce. There's a fair amount of corporate news coming out, so the market had a bit of a relief bounce before that, and the Aussie market is responding in context.
So it's 2 days of gains in a row after what was a pretty dismal week last week. What's changed?
Not much, actually. It is. It's pretty much at the moment. I think April is the worst month since October last year. So we've had a fair run, and we're beginning to get some reality check. So the two biggest, I suppose, the hype stories that have been running in the US that's kept the global markets have been AI, and that's been feeding through Nvidia and Tesla. And Nvidia has lost about $500 billion in market cap over the last month. Just a couple of BHPs disappeared. And Tesla in the last 15, it's trading at 15-month low, and it's halved from the peak in the last 15 months. So there's a fair amount of optimism coming out of the market. We've got reporting season, and Tesla starts tonight, and that kind of sets the scene. So the market is a bit iffy at the moment.
Let's go into those key events coming up. You mentioned US reporting season. We've also got local inflation numbers. Run us through how those two key events will impact investors and the markets.
Yeah, I think the US reporting season is massive. The US market is currently trading at close to 20-year highs when you adjust for bond yields. So they really need the techs to deliver on the reporting season. There has been a fair amount of AI optimism. So if you look at something like Apple, it's had about three or four downgrades and it's still held up relatively well. So the market is, hoping that these techs can deliver despite weaker dynamics. Now, the trick is going to be if that doesn't happen, then the market will start to panic because it's pretty much the big techs that are holding the market up and expected to deliver the growth story. Then on the other side, we've got in local inflation. I think it's less of an issue because in the context that everywhere we expected inflation to burn itself out, inflation rate to come down to somewhere around 3%, and then it starts to get tricky because historical trend tells you the fall from elevated inflation down to 3% generally happens because it burns itself out. But after that, the last 1%, it's always hard. And when the policies are not placed properly, it tends to bounce again.
Any company news grabbing your attention today?
Brambles is an interesting one because we always pay attention to the transport companies because they tell you underlying economic trends. FedEx and UPS in the US are very good at that. And Brambles also basically showing that a lot of retailers are holding a lot of inventory. That means consumers are not buying. They've still got a lot of inventory. They're not getting much demand. So Brambles is down on the result, and that tells you overall economy is slowing.
And finally, where do you see the opportunities for investors at the moment?
I think the market is underestimating inflation. So you want to be in sectors where inflation is going to be your booster. So, sectors like gold, sectors like energy, food, all of these areas directly benefit from inflation. And I suspect we're going to see sticky inflation, and probably that's going to pick up over the next 3 to 6 months, and that'll play positive for those sectors.
That's Nathan Somasundaram there from Deep Data Analytics.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.